and welcome to the second season of Seniors in the Building. We are four friends exploring aspects of aging together. Our conversations run the gamut from humorous to serious to maybe outrageous. We hope to hear from new voices this year as we invite guests into our conversations. Thanks for being with us. Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick. Good morning. Today our titles, I Can't Believe This Is a Thing, and we're going to be talking about trends, trends that we experienced in our earlier years, trends that are going on today, whether they're just fads, passing fads, whether they are reflective of deeper aspects of our society, whether or not they are meaningful or just something that we tend to adopt as things change and as they move along. We hope to avoid being a bunch of grumpy people complaining about modern trends and just having nostalgia about what the past was like. Welcome.
Yes. We don't want to be those that aging demographic that looks at the good old days or things that were so great before, and that's not actually where our thinking is. But I would say around the table, that's where our thinking is. I'm sure some people in our demographic think nostalgia is quite great, right? I mean, if you think about all the classic music that's on the radio nowadays, it's all like 60s, 70s, and 80s stuff, you know, and you're kind of like, well, yeah, you can live there, but is that really life, right? So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, does anyone listen to the radio anymore?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So there. So that's a trend that is more than a trend.
I miss having the kids home because I loved their music when they'd introduce me mm-hmm. to new music all the time, mm-hmm. and they still do, but I mean your grandchildren are closer to the newer music than my kids are.
And they also critique clothing, right? The fashion stuff, right? They kind of, you know, they'll say, you know, Grandma Yellow's not really in, right? So if I had something yellow, right? I'm not saying that in a negative way.
No, exactly.
But they help us fit into whatever the trends are, right?
They mm-hmm. point it out.
Yeah. You know, so I think some of that, you know, although they think it's rather funny that I wore hot pants outfits, right? You know, from the late 60s where they had these really short shirts, dresses, and then you had the little hot pant, matching hot pant that was underneath, right? And bell-bottom pants.
I've forgotten those.
You forgot.
And of course there's the leisure suits. Those wonderful things.
I can remember bell-bottoms because I had a pair of platform shoes.
Yes.
And I'd wear platform shoes with bell bottoms. And one time I was with my friend, we were walking down the street, and the heel broke off the, mm-hmm. one of the shoes. And it was so weird because I couldn't walk. I was lopsided.
Lopsided, right? Yeah, so there were fashion trends that we followed over the years.
Yeah.
And even today, I look at some things and I think to myself, whoa, I wouldn't be caught dead with the pants below the waist hanging on. But you know what I really like today is people get to wear what they feel like, right? That
yeah.
makes them comfortable, what's helped identify yeah. who they are as a human being, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess my thought is that fashion trends often are seen as just fads that come and go, but I was reflecting on a fashion trend we followed in grade school. We would buy these or have purchased for us these black rubber boots that had orange rims around the sole and around the top. Once we got those black rubber boots, we called them gum boots, by the way, and then you would take them and fold the top down. Apparently that was a trend, fashion trend, rather isolated to Northwest BC. And I remember thinking it was just kind of a weird trend, but then the more I thought about it, some of it was also to establish a bit of your identity, because when we did that to our boots, we had to do it when our parents weren't around, because they would see us as wrecking the boots and making them non-functional, so they would get quite angry with us. But we did it anyways, because it somehow established a sense of who we were and a bit of a sense of independence from our parents and sort of a freeing from control. So part of my thought is that a lot of these clothing trends that we often look back on and cringe, you know, like having a baby blue tux for your wedding, those actually are an expression of, I guess, who we are. So there's some deeper meaning to that kind of a trend.
I'm wondering, the gumboots being folded down, wasn't that part of Fonzie and that TV series?
Oh yeah, but
Happy,
he came.
Days?
They came later, right?
They came in the '70s.
That show came in the '70s. We were, and maybe
you were influencers.
They were mimicking that trend, probably. Yeah.
Maybe it was from the '50s. I saw.
Well, Happy Days was set in the '50s, but it came in the '70s.
Yeah,
right. Right, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, Jack, you might be correct in that in terms of the gumboot thing
folded down
or whatever.
Huh.
And here's something interesting. Gumboots today, they often buy those short little stubby ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've
right.
seen those. I actually purchased one of them because they were bright red, and I thought, this is my thing. I'm going to wear these.
What's with the notion of gumboots? I've never...
Well, they're rubber boots.
I know they're rubber boots, but where does the notion of gum? Like, why are they gumboots?
Well, we used to call them gumboots as well.
Yeah, beats me. We just call them gumboots.
Beats me.
That's interesting.
There's a trend. You know, language, jargon is a trend.
Yes, it was groovy, yes.
But, you know, I was thinking about trends, too, that they often drift away, right? They're here for a short time, not a long time. There's a song right there. But some of them tend to appear as a trend, but they're actually a reflection of a deeper cultural experience or a social representing the social issues. And what comes to mind is rock and roll music, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it first came in, they of course appropriated it from Black American music.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it was going to be just this short fad, you know, it wasn't going to last, right? And yet here it is. I mean, it might not be called that today. It's just rock, but, you know, or whatever it's called today now. But I think it was a trend, but it developed into a movement. It developed into something much deeper, right?
It developed into a very established form genre of music with very credible artists. I think of the Rolling Stones and Bono and U2.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen,
and all of those rockers that have just kept going and are still at the height of their popularity.
Right, and I think some still of that touring. Was that the trend wasn't just the music.
No,
they created a social movement in some ways, right?
Yep.
That they created this place of protest where the things that were happening in society could be reflected through their music, right? Or the kind of music. And other genres have done the same thing when you think about indie or
rap
or, so there's hip-hop or whatever. Those have come out of, you know, some trends.
Mm-hmm.
Towards looking at social issues, right? That's a trend, I guess, but developed into a movement.
A countercultural kind of trend that's really stuck, you know.
That's hit the mainstream. Yeah,
and use music as a vehicle to outline social ills or create protest. Yeah. And I guess some musicians also use it to affirm social convention, too. But that seems to be, which if you call it a trend, that has actually stuck around,
mm-hmm.
So
well, part you were mentioning music and trends. Part of the controversy that we lived through, and I was a guitar player from, I can't remember when I got my first guitar, but having an electric guitar was a big step because of the controversy associated with electrifying the instrument.
Right.
And one thinks, I mean, electric guitars have become a norm now.
A mainstream music, right?
Mainstream. Where before, to have an acoustic guitar was the norm, now electric guitar is the norm.
Yeah.
And I never understood it because I had my first electric guitar and I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But you needed an amp. So yeah. It might have been a commercial interest that brought mm-hmm. that about. That is, people wanting to sell amplifiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, Beatles came on with electric guitars and mm-hmm. Bob Dylan eventually, even though there was resistance.
Yeah. Well, even in our own children, right? We said you have to pick a instrument. You know, it's just part of our life. You're going to have to learn an instrument. You're going to have to do that, right? And so there's this back and forth. And, you know, nobody wanted to play piano because they didn't know anybody who played piano, you know, other than Billy Joel. And I don't think that they were keen on that singer. But, you know, so we finally compromised and said, okay, electric guitar and bass, right? And Hove. You know, for weeks on end, it just about drove us nuts, yeah. right? Because we had exactly. a guy who was willing to come to the house and teach the boys, you know, in our home, right? And so finally, you know, after about 3 weeks, we said, enough is enough. And we opened up the garage and said to them, here, guys, this is your place to practice and have your lessons, right? And the guitar teacher thought it was awesome because then he could let the kids just let loose on there.
You had garage.
We had a garage band, you know, on our neighborhood, right?
That's probably why there are garage bands.
Yeah. But, yeah, because of the noise.
Yeah. You know, because of the trend that with kids their age, right, in those early 80s. Or mid-80s, I guess it would have been late 80s.
And that just pops into my mind another thing that was seen as a trend or a fad, skateboards, right?
Oh, yeah.
Skateboarding, and yet now there are skateboard parks. I mean, it was at one time skateboarding was seen as hugely countercultural. I think partly because people would skateboard down, you know...
Main streets
and here, there, and everywhere. But again, it's an established sport now. It's established. It has, you know, quite high profile... I was going to say characters, athletes,
well,
and so on.
Olympics,
you've
got skateboarding in the Olympics.
Yeah, or breakdancing, you know, those kinds of things. Yeah, so some things that even may start as trends, I think, become very mainstream. And maybe some other trends fade away, much to our joy and happiness.
Do you mean accordion playing?
No, apparently that's coming back. Yeah.
Is it? Do you know someone who plays the accordion?
Oh, you can see it in some of the new indie bands or whatever. They have the small little
concertinas.
Yes, right. And so they are part of that. But some of them have used accordion music in some of the more folk genre
indie groups. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. groups. So it's there. I think in some ways, what we're seeing today as a trend is that any musical instrument. Is fair game, and let's put it into the music that we have. Because you listen sometimes. I still remember that old Saturday Night Live thing where the cowbells were used right in the music.
Oh yeah,
with Will Ferrell, right? And you know, and it was just getting louder and louder, right? That's so it's interesting how the trends have expanded in some ways, mm-hmm. right?
It's all in trying to make a unique sound,
mm-hmm. right? Yes, so, yeah.
It's that uniqueness, I think, that's...
And also maybe in some ways to express a social issue mm-hmm. or what's happening in the world today. When you think about a reconciliation in Canada, now mm-hmm. you're hearing throat singing, mm-hmm. which is in with some of the Indigenous bands who play with electric guitars and drums and et cetera, but you've got the throat singing in the background. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so there's this way to engage and to include... you know, that trend has...
Yeah, so it can be
us.
A vehicle for inclusion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
A social situation.
So I'm curious, what kind of a trend did you have that's no longer around? Any?
Yeah, thinking about trends. Well, I'm not sure I can even answer that question. What I think of is... the movements mm-hmm. from the 70s again.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about the feminist movement and that piece being very very much a part of my formative thinking as I was mm-hmm. growing up and sort of the waxing and waning of its prominence mm-hmm. in relationship to backlashes that happen politically and sort of socially. That's where my mind goes, mm-hmm. in that there are fewer ways to be vocal about what, you know, I see happening related to women's issues and patriarchy and mm-hmm. those kinds of things than mm-hmm. I did in the 70s. It was much easier to get involved in what was happening around me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot happening around me anymore.
Yeah,
related to that. So that's what I think about, is the things that were part of forming who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think some of that is the trend moving from protest movement to inclusion, right? In terms of, we're not going to protest that women aren't being seen in music or aren't being seen in the writers' groups or etc. But the way we're going to do it is we're going to purchase women's music. We're going to purchase queer music. We're going, you know, so sure. We're doing that protest or that support, not through, you know, the way that was done years ago, but we're doing it in more subtle ways, right? Creating libraries of women's writers and theologians is one of the things that I did personally, right? I thought, you know, I'm going to be buying up all kinds of women's theological writings
uh-huh.
for my role in the church, right? And to be able to express that, right? I think that's a trend that has kind of changed feminism in
sure,
some
certainly.
Ways.
It's shifted that. And you know, I think of Gloria Steinem and her Everyday Acts and Outrageous Acts and Everyday Rebellions and the whole thing around what do you do daily that mm-hmm. continues to support. And there definitely are things that I do daily to support that. Buying from local women fashion designers and
yes.
supporting their businesses and women who are trying to make it in other kinds of fields and supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure, I think it has changed, and it should change. It shouldn't always stay the same.
Mm-hmm. You know, one idea that comes to mind, Jack, we've talked many times over the years about climate change and climate action, etc. You know, creating this living off the land is in some ways a reaction to, a protest to industrialization of our food source, right? And people are recognizing that they can eat healthier, or they can take care of the land differently than, say, our grandparents did who were farmers, etc., right? I think that's also a sort of a trend today that I notice in young people, right? That they're canning their food, freezing their food, growing their food organically, doing cooperative farming together, you know, gardening together, or whatever, right? I think that's another way that we are moving towards, in some ways, dealing with our social issues today and climate change.
Yeah, I wonder whether the whole issue of back to the earth is more nostalgia than, like, our parents did canning and gardening mm-hmm. out of necessity,
right?
Not out of as a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Trend implies that it will pass,
yeah. right?
And that it so trends. I don't know if we can ever know what a trend is in our time,
mm-hmm.
unless we could travel into the future and look back and see whether it was a trend or not.
Mm-hmm.
The trend implies that it was. Temporary,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and a faddish. I guess I think I yeah. tend to equate fads with trends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's it.
And we might not know what the fads are today or the trends are.
Yeah, with the back to the land kind of movement or growing your own, I wonder if some of that was accelerated or exacerbated with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And it yeah. does that. I guess the question is, does that have staying power?
Yes.
Mm.
I guess my gut feeling is because of the climate issue, and that's not going away, it's going to become more than just sort of a fad, but more of a necessity as we move forward. Could be wrong, but I don't know what alternatives there
yeah,
are.
Yeah, now we're talking about fire season.
Yeah. Yes.
Like all of summer becomes the fire season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's new language recently used.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as we sit here in Gimli, Manitoba, you know, with the fires across the lake.
Yeah.
Right.
And north.
Mm-hmm.
You could smell it in the air periodically. Today's really good, but other days it could be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to Winnipeg, all the way to Minneapolis.
Oh, and further south even.
And east mm-hmm. as well. So huge populations are being affected.
Yeah.
So what is a trend? We're doing a trend, maybe, podcasting.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Is mm-hmm. it a trend? Mm-hmm. Like, will it pass?
Mm-hmm.
The being online, yeah. is that just a trend?
Is it like an 8-track tape, or is it yeah. something that will be more
cassette tape,
more
yeah.
deep and more survive longer? Yeah.
I remember when the internet was introduced. Believe it or not, that's yeah. how old we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
we
right. Yeah,
lived through the introduction of the internet.
Yeah.
And it was used in the military, right? It was a form of communication in the military.
I think that's yeah. where. First caught on, yeah.
And now mm-hmm. it's common for everybody, yeah. more or less, to be online.
Right.
Like, even the language of online. What line am I on?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where's that language
There is no
from?
Real line, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah that's
Wait,
right.
Which makes me wonder, you know, if when new developments or new things come, often we see them as trends or fads. When you mentioned the internet, I thought, when home computers first came on, many people, even working in computer manufacturing, thought, well, you know, home computers are never going to be a thing. You know, there'd be just, you know, large mainframe computers.
Well, they used to be huge.
Corporations.
Yeah, yeah,
and
corporations and military and so on. But not everyone will have a home computer. Well, now we carry around computers in our pockets, call them smartphones.
It's, yeah.
So I wonder if sometimes what's considered a trend is just, like you said, Jack, is because we can't see into the future. We're right. not sure where things are going to go. Yeah.
It's that whole, I remember the first computer that we had, it was for word processing when you were doing your thesis, mm-hmm. and the yeah. memory,
physical size of it.
Physical size of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was, it took up your whole office.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The computer itself was
the
huge,
tower.
And the tower. You had this huge tower.
And the floppy
and
disks.
The floppy disks. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And this iPhone, will that be a trend that we'll look back on and think of it as archaic and unbelievably ridiculous?
Yeah, when we have chips implanted inside our heads.
Yeah.
Then it will be.
But actually, you're right, Jack, because that made, when we started talking about the idea of trends, I mean, my very first, I don't know if it, you know, my very first phone, handphone was a BlackBerry, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a big thing in 1998, you know, when I first started my job, and the boss said to me, you go and you get yourself a BlackBerry, right? Because that'll help you organize your life, and you'll be able to, people will be able to get a hold of you via that number and everything. And I still have the same number I had on my BlackBerry.
Oh,
I still have
sakes,
it today. So
ago.
In 27 years, I've not changed that number, right? But moved from BlackBerries, which nowadays people kind of laugh at that. And
yeah.
think, you know, they were just
collectibles,
right? Mm-hmm. And now it's there. And I keep thinking, like, you know, my kids are on Androids, but I'm on an iPhone still, right? I'm still in that trend of using Apple products, right? And so are they going to move towards more Androids, right? And
mm-hmm. and that distinction between Android and Apple.
Oh, exactly.
Might seem funny in the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like years ago when relatives or older people used to argue between Ford and Chevy, right?
Yeah,
no,
that's
this
right.
is somehow a big distinction. Now yeah. we go, why was that even a thing?
Why was yeah. that a thing, right?
Yeah.
It's
quite
now mixed. It's gas and electric.
Well, that's
yeah,
true.
EV.
And the number of people who are still out there, and it's not just generational, but who will say, oh yeah, EVs are just you know, just a fad. The gas engine is here to stay, and you know, so even there's this sense that, oh, this is just a trend, whereas I think by now most people are realizing, no, this is a technology that's just going to be moving forward. So,
I think looking back at the internal combustion engine
mm-hmm.
will be seen similar to how we look back now at steam trains,
mm-hmm. yes,
burning coal,
mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. yeah,
and wonder how it was that that globally a culture could be so stupid to use internal combustion engines that mm-hmm. fill the air with pollution.
Yeah.
So eventually there'll be some novelty tourist areas where you can go to drive an old internal combustion
yes,
engine
right.
car just to know how the ancestors used to drive.
Well, you see it like here, like in Gimli, but also most communities, or smaller communities like Camrose where we lived, there would be old car
nights.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Nights.
Yeah. It, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so here...
Corral.
In yeah. Winnipeg, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They used to, yeah, people would
it's
gather
now
with the
closed.
Old cars.
But it's,
yeah.
it's these older cars that are V8s.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, as if there's some kind of special thing about the power that a V8 gives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the compression is so minimal in those vehicles.
Yeah.
Not very efficient.
A newer four-cylinder car runs more efficiently and more powerful mm-hmm. than any V8 would have ever run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least that's my limited understanding. Some car buffs might argue.
we'll get feedback on that, I'm sure.
But it's interesting to think about as we age, mm-hmm. The things that we use every day and trying to make decisions about what is this a trend or not, we have no idea. Like, mm-hmm. we won't know
yeah. Yeah.
until, like
mm-hmm.
you said, we're in the future.
Yeah.
So it's that intrigues me because mm-hmm. it's hard to rise above what you are currently experiencing to even think about. I mean, I think about clothing and mm-hmm. how the trends come back and how I will refuse to wear them, and I keep looking for classic clothing that you know.
Well, what I find surprising today is when I go into a store and I see the kind of clothes that Rick's mother wore, you know,
yeah.
in her 70s, 80s, and 90s, right? And I'm like, I wouldn't be caught dead with a blouse that had a little tie thing at the neck and flop down into two pieces of fabric, right? And I'm like, that is my mother-in-law. That's my visual of my mother-in-law. I will not buy one of those shirts, right?
Right.
But it's just very interesting. The other thing I noticed this week is I was online and I was looking, and did you know that Dickies are coming back? Or
yes.
the collars are coming back,
yes.
right?
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and it's not even for turtlenecks, no. but they're bringing them back to go with sweaters, because sweaters are coming back for women, and so they've got these little fancy little collars to go with it. And I thought,
really? I didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
I used to have Dickie collars.
Yeah,
so oh,
I did too.
Yeah.
There we go.
So I'm thinking, okay, here comes a trend, really. Like, it's a fad, it's a trend. It's just keeps recycling itself
yeah.
through our lives, right? It's like mm-hmm. seeing women on the street wearing 50s dresses with the little tight small belts, and they flare out and everything. And I imagine
that's
my
right.
mother when she was first married and was wearing those kinds of dresses.
What really
shirtwaist dresses
yep.
in terms of trends with men are, and I don't know and I don't mean to be offensive by this, because I have no idea where it originates. I think it's a skater culture.
Oh, yeah.
Where you wear those blue jeans and you drop them really low
mm-hmm.
so your ass cheeks are showing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or your underwear is showing?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's street culture
yeah.
comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like I said earlier, that's about their comfort level, right? This is,
and
you're buying clothes and wearing clothes that fit your. Your comfort
level. Like, to your pants.
To express yourself. But that's the point.
Was also countercultural, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it was making a statement again. Yeah. yeah. And we may look at it and go, oh, I don't know about
like
this.
Like, not a three-piece suit, but mm-hmm. ass showing.
Yes, I know.
But three-piece suits, again, are back, too, right? You watch
yeah.
these guys walking with their vest.
But, of course, the ass showing thing probably looks a little better on a 20-something than
yeah,
on a 70-something.
Right.
So
yeah, yeah, that's right.
Maybe that's why
culturally
it's more a young person's
no,
trend.
So maybe it speaks to the fact that we're just completely at the mercy of marketers. for financial gain.
Yeah.
Anything that catches the imagination, that is countercultural, though that term used to have more bite than it does now.
Yeah.
Because being odd equates to countercultural. So,
that's but, right.
So maybe there's a trend that we could start as 70-year-olds.
I'm trying to think of what I would want to be caught dead in, because I'm thinking about, you know, even when I go shopping with my granddaughters, right? And I mean, they know how to steer away from certain things, right? And they are going to do the same thing to me. You know, they're not being heartless, for sure. They're just being very cautious and saying to me, I don't think, you know, Grandma, I don't think that's the right fit or whatever. And I think I appreciate that, because I don't want to look like a 40 or 50 year old walking around. I know I'm 70, you know, so.
But it is true that they say within the fashion industry, the color that's sort of been chosen, the trend color, is already like 2-3 years now. It's all planned ahead.
Yeah.
So there is a certain amount of marketing manipulation that goes on. And even if we're aware of it, we still tend to follow along with those.
Yeah.
So by this time next year, we'll see who's wearing a dickie and who's, who's got the shirt with the little ribbon on down the front. But yeah. But I wonder also if some of the trends, again, are, you know, fashion trends are one thing, but again, moving into the broader situation, some of the things are more born out of necessity. And we'll always create some benefits. One of the things I'm thinking of, whether you like it or not, is the home renovation trend that began, right? And again, I mean, it's a huge industry in and of itself, but it certainly helps people to build more affordable homes or stay in their homes and keep them more affordable, because you can't always pay for contractors and for the big dollars. So if you can find, or to recycle, you know, building products and so on. That's also a trend, I think, born a bit out of necessity. And maybe, again, that's another example of something that, in the long run, will stay and can be beneficial.
Yeah. Well, isn't that part of our climate crisis thing, mm-hmm. to reuse? I mean, it's the whole recycle, reuse kind of thing. I know when we were in Kitchener, there were several places, of course, Habitat for Humanity and their Restore stores are big across the country.
Yeah.
But there was also a place called Timeless where they would take things from 100-year-old homes, like the one that we used to own. If we had changed our banister, for example, or something that was original to the house, they would take it.
Yeah.
And then resell it to other people who were restoring their homes or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's a good trend, rather than to have all that stuff end up in the landfill.
So a sustainability.
Sustainability. And I wonder if that speaks to what you were talking about earlier, Elaine, is the gardening and going back to
canning
and it's a sustainability thing, mm-hmm. and it may be a necessity for some people.
I think it can also help create a certain sense of self-reliance, mm-hmm. you know, where you are not always dependent on, say, bigger market forces or bigger corporate trends.
Or running to the grocery store, but have it in your. I know my mom. She cans all her tomatoes. I think you do too, Elaine.
Yeah.
And running out of tomatoes is, before you have your new tomatoes, is kind of a crisis.
Yeah, there's like 4 months of the year where I don't make any pastas without, you know, I don't make it because I think to myself, well, I don't have my tomato sauces.
I don't have your tomatoes,
to go, you know? So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. The other thing I noticed too is the use of the used clothing industry, right, has grown so much
for sure.
As well, recycling, right? Again, it's a sustainability issue, but it's a climate crisis issue. There's just so much there. But I think affordability is another thing, right? That people just can't afford the clothing that's in the stores anymore. And it's not, you know, In some cases, yes, it is the store's problem, but, you know, or marketing problem or whatever. But it, I think for most people, it's like we should be reusing our clothing and finding ways to, you know,
especially
not fill the dumps with it.
When they're made out of materials that are not,
can't break down.
Cotton, linen, and wool, they all break down. But anything that is made out of polyester
or synthetics,
they don't break down. And so we need to be reusing those because they go in the landfill or we ship them off to Africa, who doesn't really want them, or India.
Yeah.
They don't want our old clothes anymore.
Yeah.
So we've got a huge issue with, you know, this cheap fashion thing where, again, people buy clothing and then they wear them twice and then they go
throw them away. Yeah.
Go somewhere, and we've that's an issue. That's an issue.
Yeah.
Well, one of the thoughts I had with it, whether it's the home renovation or the back to the land thing and growing your own, one of the benefits I see in that's in those kinds of movements or trends or whatever you call them. For example, you know, growing your own produce. It's not just that you have produce, but you begin to understand how things grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you begin to, as you get into it, you have to learn how a seed germinates, what kind of conditions helps a certain type of plant grow, what is the need for pollinators and insects, you know, and you begin to become aware of the whole
ecology.
Interconnection of ecology and how important it is. Or to use the home reno thing, which I just mentioned a few, you know, you begin to understand what wiring a house safely looks like so it doesn't burn down, or exactly what goes into building a tiny home or whatever that is environmentally sustainable and friendly. So there, I think there are a lot of, in those kinds of trends, a lot of long-term benefits individually as well as socially. So
right.
I think that's the kind of trends that we can embrace and also promote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Hmm. And so I think we're trending away from any more conversation today. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. And if you have some ideas or thoughts, please let us know or share them among friends about what trends you might have and that are beneficial to you in society. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, RRS Feed Community, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design. As well, thanks to Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Franzblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input, and we appreciate the support of all of our families in this endeavor, for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love. Our email is forseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral 4, followed by seniorsinthebuilding, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, stay curious and hopeful.